For today's message, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the Bibles, the church Bibles. That's going to be on page 111. We're continuing in our series, Back in the Black, of Biblical Foundation for Personal Finance. We're not just talking about giving and all of that. We're talking about everything that Jesus talked about with finance. We're talking about getting your finances back in the black. And we've linked this to the laws of balance. And the laws of balance, there's three main laws of balance. The first one is reference point. And that has to do with you got to know where it's going, right? We talked about that. And then we have constant correction. And we'll talk about that. If you don't make constant corrections when you're balancing, it just doesn't work out very well. Things just fall. You fall off the balance beam, so on. And then clear objective, and that is to honor God. We ended our first week, as I said, with reference point, and that is knowing where it's all going. That helps you keep your eye on your objective, knowing how you're moving, knowing where it's all going. We talked about that. We gave you a worksheet, so lean into that. Last week we talked about our objective. I said, if you had to sum up your financial objective, if you had to sum up your financial goal in one statement, what would it be? And the answer is to honor God with your money. Why? Because it all comes from God, because it all belongs to God, and because it's all distributed by God. Now we will discuss the constant correction side of balance in four parts. Saving, spending, giving, and debt. I'm going to start with debt this week. Our approach to money is often shaped by our childhood, isn't it? We typically copy or we typically react to what we grew up with. Kimberly and I raised our boys, our kids, to believe that you don't borrow on anything that's going to depreciate in value. Which means at any point, if our children apply this truth, our kids could liquidate everything they have and be completely debt-free or better as a result. You can finance a home. That's an asset that appreciates. But be sure you're never upside down on that asset, which will probably require a larger down payment than your mortgage broker will sell you. Our boys were all raised to pay cash for cars because cars depreciate. You simply refuse to finance them. We raised them to never, under any circumstance, carry credit card balances. And you must know, listen, we are no less enamored by stuff than anyone else watching today. I love shiny new iThings, all kinds of tech gadgets. I just love them, and computer stuff and really giant TVs. But the three financial goals that I just talked to you about always supersede cool, new, and shiny. There are three goals that we did everything but tattoo on our children's fannies. I pressed these goals on our boys so many times. When they were toddlers and they were small, small children, like they couldn't even reach up to the cabinets yet, it was give, save, live, give, save, live, give, save, live. As they matured and got a little bit older, we expanded that to have a giving goal. Have a giving goal. Have a saving goal. And have a debt goal. Have a stay out of debt goal, right? We want you to give, save, live. And here's what Dave Ramsey said. I'm stealing this from him. Live like no one else. So eventually you can live like no one else. Everybody you know is not given much and doesn't have a saving goal and spends everything they get. But eventually, you'll be able to spend more because you have stuff to spend on. Never finance anything that depreciates. That's the last one, right? So here it is. Here, we got a little more technical with them. When you have a giving goal, that's what we talked about last week. Have a starting point, and that is a tithe. The tithe is a starting point. 10% of your income. That's what we taught them. Listen, have a savings goal. Whatever you give to the church, you also put in savings. You give, you save, and then you live on 70%, no more than 70%, so you have a buffer there to deal with. 10, 10, 70. Why? Because I could up my standard of living. Because I could up my standard of driving. Because I could up my standard of traveling. Because I could up my standard of entertaining instantly with the use of debt. That's the problem. And all of us want to do that. It's so quick. It's so easy. It's so easy, isn't it? You see, you can work and save your way into a higher standard of living, or you can borrow your way there. One is quick, one is slow. One brings peace, the other brings woe. I've been on this side of debt, and I like it. I've talked to rich, and I've talked to the poor on the other side, and let me tell you for sure, this side is better. This side is so much better. And I want you to join me on this side. And guess what? It's God's will for you. And now I want to prove debt-free is God's will for you. And I'm not talking about business debt in this lesson. Business debt has the potential to create value. So I'm focusing here in this lesson on consumer debt. Consumer debt does not create value. Consumer debt is a lie. It promises happiness, and it delivers, but only for a short time until the demand for payment arrives. This debt is our first constant correction that we want to lean into this week. What does God say about debt? What does God say about debt? When God was establishing Israel as a nation, he made several conditional promises. They were conditioned on Israel's obedience to God. The full list of those promises is in the book of Deuteronomy. One sign of God's blessing was the ability to lend money, but not have to borrow it. Did you hear that? One sign of God's blessing was to have the ability to lend money, but not have to borrow it. Lend, but not borrow. Look at this verse. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. Here it is. Here it is. If the nation of Israel will obey the Lord, the Lord will reopen the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. Borrowing is actually evidence that things are going poorly. In our culture, it used to be that way. Right here in America, if you borrowed money, they knew you were in trouble. But now it's not the way. Debt is advertised everywhere. We live in a culture now that says, wow, things are going so well for you. You can behave like a person for whom things aren't going so well. You can borrow money at these crazy rates, right? And eventually, things won't go so well for you. God says the opposite. God says it's far better to make interest payments. God says it's far better to receive interest payments than to pay interest payments, doesn't he? The reason debt was of concern to God then, and the reason debt is of concern to God now, is because he knows what we learned the hard way. Look at this. The rich rule over the poor. That is true, isn't it? And the borrower is slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. Consumer debt is the equivalent of paying someone else to be your master. It's not selling yourself into slavery. It's worse than that. It's buying and consuming your way into slavery on junk that's going to end up in a garage sale one day. They don't call it MasterCard for nothing. Eventually, it really does become your master because the borrower is slave to the lender. The other reason debt is of concern to God is because debt is not the result is not the result of need as much as it is self-control. And that is a character issue. And that is a spiritual issue. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Can anyone tell me or the last fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the last fruit of the Spirit. I've just got to have it, right? But you didn't even know there was an it to have to got to have before you saw it. And you've been living just fine without it. So here's your choice, and it's so simple. Either you will control you, or the credit card company will control you, or the finance company will control you. Look at this scripture. Proverbs, the wisest man who ever lived said this, like a city whose walls are broken through is a man who lacks self-control. When you lack self-control, let me just explain this verse. When you lack self-control, somebody will invade you. Somebody will invade you and actually take control. You will be conquered. The last negative about debt is it impacts your ability to be generous. It really does. Is it odd to you that you can't give more to people in need because you owe on things you don't need? Is that odd to you? Do you think that's odd to God? Well, let me ask you another question. When God nudges you to give, hey, give this, and Visa nudges you to pay, who do you think wins? And I know what you're going to say. God will win. But the truth is Visa wins, don't they? Because generosity requires margin. Debt means you have little to no margin to give and be generous from. So look here. The wise store up choice food and olive oil. They just put it aside for a rainy day. But fools gulp theirs down. They just swallow it all up. They don't think about the future. Another verse said, a wise man saves for the future and the foolish man spends everything he gets. Listen, if you're going to get back in the black, if you're going to be balanced in your personal finances, if you want to be a real Jesus follower, listen, friends, you must address your debt. You have to do it. Debt is something you drift into, but you have to claw your way out. And to help you get started, on today's sermon notes, if you click on the sermon notes and you get the sermon notes, the last page of the sermon notes is a debt repayment schedule. Just use those links I told you about earlier. You can go to southbaychurchli.org/links if you missed it. That's where they're at. And this isn't complicated. This debt repayment schedule, you just list everybody you owe money to. And it just takes time. It takes a little discipline. And to get this resolved, it takes accountability. It takes accountability to God, and it takes accountability to other people. So you got to get on your knees. You got to surrender your finances to your Heavenly Father. I suggest you get a symbol, you get a checkbook, you get a credit card or whatever, and you set it out in front of you as you pray. That's the first step. You pray and you confess. Maybe it's your greed you're confessing. That's so hard to see in the mirror. You got to be really honest with yourself to confess greed. Maybe you need to confess you haven't been generous, or you just spent all you could get. And God says to save for the future. Be a wise person, not a foolish man. Whatever you need to confess, pray and confess. I said it earlier, either you will control you or the credit card company will control you. And then you need to surrender. Pray, confess, surrender. Pray, confess, surrender. Surrender control to your Heavenly Father. And then the final one, which is such a powerful one. Listen, invite accountability. Invite somebody else in. I have a friend's church that had Dave Ramsey actually come and talk several years ago, and a community group in their church decided to come clean with each other. You saw our community groups a few minutes ago. They all confessed their debt to each other. Imagine that. they put it on a board. They got this little whiteboard and listed out everybody's debt and everybody's goal, and they all set a goal together. Some set a goal to get, I want to get completely out of debt. Others said, I want to pay off this car. I want to pay off this particular credit card. One picked a student loan. And then they checked in on each other every single time their group met. Listen, every person in the group reached his or her goal. And by the end of their time together, several of those group members had already started working on another goal, and just about everyone in that group received unexpected income, a tax refund, a bonus, a deposit that they had paid off that just came in. Some couples haven't used their credit card since. Isn't that incredible? Everyone I've ever known who elected this route of high accountability got out of debt much quicker than they ever anticipated. They all told me God honored the decision and shortened the process. And listen, Kimberly and I can certainly testify that He did this in our life. So listen, in conclusion, I want to just recap. You can't get back in the black and be financially balanced while enslaved to debt. It's just impossible. You can't honor God while enslaved to debt. It's just impossible. Regardless of how deep you're in, and I know some of your stories, I know how deep you're in. Regardless of how hopeless it might seem, you got to start with a plan. Would you create one? Would you find some accountability? Maybe join a community group and just tell them where you're at. Don't be embarrassed. Everybody has their stuff. Nobody at South Bay is going to look at you and judge you. And then will you surrender this mess to God? Will you do that? Listen, I want that for you. Your Heavenly Father wants that for you. That's His will for you. Freedom in Christ, not freedom to MasterCard. That's no freedom at all. Not, He doesn't want you to discover freedom with Discover Card, because that doesn't work either. Listen, I want you to want this so much that you're willing to do something about it. Let's pray. God, we just come before You today and we just humble ourselves before Your mighty hand. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on our dumb financial decisions of the past. Lord, and I could raise my hand to a million of them. And Lord, I pray that You would help us get serious in prayer, that You would help us just get real with You and own where we're at, not try to cover it up or blame shift or anything else, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would help us confess our sin to You. What got us into this mess? Give us understanding and humility to confess and repent of that. And then, Lord, help us surrender where we're at to You. Say, God, this isn't my money. This is Your money, as we talked about last week. It all belongs to You. It all came from You. It was all distributed by You. And, Lord, I made a mess of it. And, God, we just give it back to You in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, in our surrender part, teach us what to do with Your money, what to do with Your stuff, Your resources. Help it not master us. Help us submit to Your mastery, Lord, Your lordship, in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, I pray that You'd help us find accountability. Lord, that's going to put all of this on steroids. And we have to get real with somebody every week. And we have to tell them, yeah, I blew it this week and bought a new eye thing or signed a contract on something. Lord, they're not to beat us up, but just that ownership, that transparency helps us rethink our decisions. God, I pray in Jesus' name that You would help us embrace accountability in every area of our life, but especially in our finances through this season of our life. God, bless those who take this challenge to get debt free. Bless them, Lord, because, Lord, they're putting You first in their money. They're putting You first in Your money, rather. They're putting You first in their stuff, God. They don't want stuff to have their heart anymore, and they want to take the actions necessary to break free from that. So God, pour out Your blessing. You always, always, always do that every time we get serious about getting things right with You. So do that now. Lord, bless every single person that watched here today. We love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for watching today. God bless you.